everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the If I Had One Wish podcast. I'm Crystal Hicks, President of Wish, and today I'll be joined by Honey, Chair of our London Wish Regional Board. Hi, Honey.
Hi. Hi, Crystal. Hi, Gilly.
Lovely to have you. So today we'll be discussing one woman's journey to the UK as a refugee from Iran, her progression to female leadership within the Church of England, and how she's been involved in helping to alleviate the housing crisis since the Archbishop's Commission on Housing published the Coming Home Report in 2021. This referenced the 8 million people in England who were living in overcrowded, unaffordable, and unsuitable homes. Our guest today is Bishop of Chelmsford, Gully Francis. Bishop Gully is the first minority ethnic woman to be ordained a bishop in the UK, and someone whose formative life experiences are beyond the comprehension of many. Her determination to tackle issues from county lines trafficking to affordable housing are hugely inspiring. So just to provide some background, Gully's mother was born in Iran to British missionaries, and her Muslim-born father converted to Christianity and was an Anglican bishop. With the persecution of Christians during the 1979 Islamic Revolution, her parents were almost assassinated, and sadly, Gully's brother was murdered at just 24 years old. Her family arrived in the UK when she was 13 years old, and after studying music as an undergraduate, Gully went on to complete a PhD and was ordained in 1998. Appointed Bishop of Chelmsford in 2020, she now also serves as the Church of England's first Bishop of Housing and is a member of the House of Lords. Bishop Gully, a warm welcome and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much indeed, Crystal. I'm really pleased to be here. Looking forward to this conversation.
Over to you, Honey.
Hi, Bishop Gully. You are such an inspiration for all of us, especially for me, being a woman of colour as well. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're keen to know your interest in housing. What's drawn to housing as an industry?
Well, I think in all honesty, my interest in housing began as a kind of happy coincidence, if I can put it like that. I'm absolutely not an expert in the field of housing. I haven't got years and years of experience in the sector at all. I think I was in the right place at the right time. So as I became Bishop of Chelmsford, and as I was about to take my place in the House of Lords as one of the bishops who is in the House of Lords, that was around the time that the Coming Home Report that Crystal has referred to was being published. And the Archbishop of Canterbury at the time was really eager for a bishop to take responsibility for taking forward the aims of Coming Home. And he was particularly interested also or keen that the person should have a voice in the House of Lords. And I was the bishop that was coming in at that stage and about to go into the House of Lords. So he literally rang me up one day and said, would you take on this role? I didn't really understand anything about it at the time. I knew that I had a passion, still have a passion for the church being involved in practical ways in people's lives. You know, demonstrating the love of the gospel message in action has always been an important part of the life of the church for me. And this opportunity presented itself. And I suppose it tied in a way with my own personal experience of kind of having lost home as a child when we moved to this country. And so I just said yes. And that's where the journey began in a sense. And since then, you know, it's only 4 or 5 years. I'm still no expert. I still often feel out of my depth in many meetings and conversations. But I think I've been surrounded by many experts. So I've absorbed a certain amount. And I think part of my role is not necessarily to bring the specific expertise, but to be a convener and a voice in this area.
Thank you. It's fascinating, isn't it, how you just plant a seed. And I think the Coming Home Report, which I'm going to ask you actually to tell us a little bit more about for our listeners, but I think the Coming Home Report definitely feels like a seed that's been planted. And from that, that sort of social action within the church is growing. There was some quite sort of stark facts and figures revealed through the Coming Home Report. Bishop Gully, I just wonder whether you could just explain to anybody who might not know what the Coming Home Report is. What is it? How did it come about? And what does it seek to achieve?
So several years before the report was published, the Archbishop of Canterbury set up a commission on housing, church and community in order really to understand what the status quo is, if you like, around housing, and specifically not just housing as numbers of units, but about how we create communities and how the church is involved in those communities. And the Coming Home report was based on their findings, which demonstrated that the status quo, the bar, is pretty low, really, shockingly low for a Western civilized country with a healthy economy. It's estimated that there are over 8 million people in unsuitable accommodation, temporary accommodation, or no accommodation. And it laid out challenges, really, to the whole sector, so different players in the sector, landowners, developers, builders, and so on. It also set out challenges to government in terms of policy making and so on. And it also, and this is what was unusual, I think, as reports go, reports of commissions go, it set out challenges for the church itself, for how we might become more effective participants in trying to address this crisis. Nobody can solve it by themselves, but the church, as one of the largest landowners in the country, does have the gift of land, as it were, and therefore there are very particular challenges to the church for us to play our part in seeking to, yeah, to address the challenges and the crisis.
Yeah.
And I suppose just pulling on that thread a little bit in terms of the role of the church, obviously you've referenced there that they are quite a big landowner. So land is a key part in development of housing. But I suppose, are there key roles that you think the church is seeking to play now as a result of the Coming Home report, or that could, I suppose, seek to play in the future?
Absolutely, very definitely. I mean, the church has always historically been involved in social action of all different descriptions, including actually around housing, and historically, you know, the setting up of a number of housing associations have their roots in a movement that will have grown out of a local church or a particular Christian or whatever. So this is not anything new, but I think looking at the situation as it is today, there are absolutely things we can do. But what I have learned over the 4 or 5 years I've been doing this, that it is immensely complicated. I mean, you will know, and your listeners who are involved in the sector will know, that this is slow territory. Nothing seems to happen quickly. And when you talk about the Church of England, it's also a very, very complex institution. And the cogs move very slowly. Chiefly for us, the challenge is around the fact that the land of which there is a lot is not held just by one part of the Church of England. So the majority of the land is held by the church commissioners. Much of it isn't developable land, but still there is much that is. And then you've got something like, I don't know, I can't remember exactly, 16,000 parishes across the land. You've got 42 dioceses. And they all hold plots of land as well. Well, they don't all, but many parishes will have small plots of land or properties, and dioceses will have glebe land and so on. And nobody can tell any other bit what to do with their land. And the challenge for us as a church, particularly at the diocesan and parish level, is that we lack the finances. So we're rich in land assets, but we often lack the finances to get projects off the ground and across the line. But we also lack the expertise, often, not always, but often, and we lack the confidence in this whole area. So really, really important that we partner with others to make good use of the land that we have, whether it's to build on and develop or whether it's to sell, but crucially, always with an interest in how we can continue being part of the communities that we've served for centuries. You know, we're not interested in just providing a few additional units and then walking away. We want to be there to build community. And there is lots happening. The church commissioners have a big portfolio, and they are particularly active in rural exception sites. And we've got examples of parishes, you know, sometimes small projects, 2 houses here, 6 there, and indeed dioceses using glebe land. But as I say, there are good news stories, but it is complicated, it is slow. We've also just managed to successfully register a new church housing association, which is in very, very early stages, based at the minute in the West Midlands, but, you know, taking forward work through that housing association as well. So there's lots of threads, lots of encouraging signs, but still in early stages. And there is much, much more that can still happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I must declare an interest, Bishop Gully. As you know, I sit on the board for the Church Housing Association, and it's been amazing and also very frustrating to go on that journey with my fellow board members of getting registered and trying to deliver on some of the ambitions here. And I think one of the things that has really motivated us through that process and working really closely with colleagues in the Church Development Agency as well, who are excellent at getting use of glebe land and other sites for development. Those five S's that came out of the Coming Home report, I think, clearly sort of articulated the difference that we would see in the church becoming more actively involved in this space and trying to address the challenges that are around the sector at the moment. And yeah, I wonder whether you could just speak to those five S's for our listeners so they could understand what's at the heart, I suppose, of the report.
The Coming Home report, in a sense, lays out a vision for what good housing should look like. And that's where the five S's come in. So good housing is identified as being safe, providing safety and security for those who live in it, as being stable, a place where people can put down roots and settle and contribute to their communities, as being sociable, a place of hospitality and the ability to spend time with friends and family and so on, as being satisfying, places where people delight to be, places that we might say are beautiful, although I know that's a subjective concept. And then finally, sustainable. So built in line with environmental challenges that we face and our desire to see the whole planet remain healthy as people who are stewards of the planet. So those are the five S's. Each of them in the report is linked to a kind of Christian theological concept, but it's presented in such a way that anybody, whether a person of faith or no faith, can find a way in. And then I guess the sixth S, which is not so often talked about, but is a significant part of the report, is the notion of sacrifice, which again is a peculiarly Christian concept, but is at the heart of Coming Home in the sense that the report is saying, you know, we can address the housing crisis. It is within our reach to do so, but only if everybody who's involved in different parts of the sector, including individuals and communities, embrace this idea of sacrifice. You know, a little bit less financial return might be one form of sacrifice for a landowner or a developer. For communities, it might be avoiding that sense of NIMBYism. You know, we don't want this in our backyard, take it somewhere else. So there's ways in which everybody can play their part by just acknowledging, embracing the need for sacrifice at some level. I know it's a term that can put people off, but it's really about generosity of spirit, I guess, as much as it is anything else. But yeah, that's the vision of good housing, and it sets a standard, I suppose, which you will know, Crystal, that the Housing Association is wanting to deliver housing that is in line with the five S's.
Yeah. And it looks so simple on paper, but in practice, if you're true to those five S's, so even the sixth as well, it's very demanding. You know, and the margins in housing are so tight, not just the financial margins, but, you know, your ability to really make a difference and deliver on that vision. Yeah, it's been wonderful to work with the board with those as our five sort of guiding principles as we go into our first developments. Okay, so I think we'll turn down a different alley now, if that's all right. And honey, maybe we'll go on to talk about the House of Lords, which I'm just fascinated to learn more about myself, to be honest.
Bishop Gully, it was such a joy to listen to your conversation, your passion in social housing. Obviously, that's all our listeners, including myself and Crystal, have been working in the sector for decades now, listening. Obviously, the crisis, housing crisis, is one of the biggest crises we are dealing in UK, and really great, the church involvement, and all the best with that, your journey as well. So move on to House of Lords. Obviously, it's an amazing place to be, and I had the pleasure of visiting once. So you sit in the House of Lords, which is a world that I imagine very few of our listeners know about it. So can you tell us what a day in the life of a member of Lords, like how you see this role to influence change you would like to see as well?
Thank you, honey. You know, it's going to look very different for different people, because members of the House of Lords have very, very different roles and differing amounts of time also to give to the role. So some are there most days, every day, and then others like me and like the other bishops who are there, you know, we have fairly substantial day jobs. So it's much, much more limited, in a sense, my engagement with the House of Lords. What I try to do, because it could soak up all your time, what I try to do is limit my engagement largely to the area of housing and also immigration and asylum issues. Again, I'm passionate about those. And of course, there's quite a lot of overlap, not just between those areas, but actually housing and almost any other topic you might pick. So it can become quite challenging to know where the priorities need to be. On the whole, if there are significant bills going through Parliament, I will try to commit to being there on crucial days to speak to issues. Again, it can be challenging because my diary for my day job is organised a year or two in advance. The House of Lords, if you're lucky, you get about 10 days notice. So it can involve a bit of juggling of diary. We also always have a duty bishop on call. So each of us does a week or two on duty there, which means that you are present for the duration of that week. And we support each other then in that work. We'll pick up work that maybe is the responsibility of a colleague, but they can't be in. So we'll provide support in whatever way we can. A lot of the work also is behind the scenes. So there is, of course, the debates and the amendments and the reports and all of that that come into the chamber. But then there's relationship building, there's committee work, there's all kinds of other meetings that happen behind the scenes. And all of the time, it's just trying to get priorities right about how best to use my time in such a way that makes a little bit of difference. And yeah, I go through phases. I'm there a little bit more often sometimes, and then I can go for a month or two of not being there at all. It really does depend on what the business is that's come in and what the rest of my diary commitments are.
So if you can remember, is any particular thing you're proud about, your influence using your voice, is there anything you can think?
I think one of the areas that I've been really interested in, and actually it's there in Coming Home as well, which was a call on not just the government in power, but on all politicians to work together to create a long-term cross-party housing strategy. And I've been involved in kind of chairing a steering group, a cross-party steering group in the House of Lords to do some work in this area. And we produced a report called Homes for All back in the early summer. It happened in the end to land exactly around the same time as election was called. So it didn't quite get the publicity we're hoping for. However, it is there, and we know that there are politicians and indeed government ministers who are engaging with it and whom we're in conversation with. But the steering group was very particularly made up of members from the House of Lords from across the different parties, including the crossbenchers, as well as the three main parties, because there is a very strong sense in which, you know, this, again, you will know better than me, this challenge is so complex that no government will be able to solve it if they just have a short-term kind of approach of, well, we must make sure we get in 5 years' time and therefore our policies have to be coloured by that. So we're really working towards encouraging them to work towards a long-term, you know, 20, 30-year policy. A little bit along the lines of the climate change work that has brought parties together and has a climate change committee to keep successive governments accountable. That's what we would like to see. But it's complicated because politics is complicated. And even people of goodwill, hardworking people of goodwill, you know, they're politicians. And so, again, it's not straightforward, it's not quick. But I think I'm delighted with the way that we have started that work and we are continuing conversations.
Yeah, Bishop Gulley, that is such a joy to hear, because in housing sector, we always say we need a long-term strategy. We need all politicians to work together. And it's really interesting to hear this is happening already. So I'm really pleased with them. I'm sure all our listeners are happy to see how this is taking forward, because we can't work five-year strategy. We need a 30-year plan to tackle this crisis. So Thank you. And over to Crystal now.
Yeah, and we can definitely put a link to that Bishop Gully into the show notes as well for today. So if anybody's interested in finding out more about that work, we can link through to it. And I had a feeling that you might say that because I was aware of the work. And we have had other podcast guests on who, when asked the question, what is their one wish, their response has been a long-term cross-government strategy for housing. So in a small way, you may be making some of the other influential women's wishes come true by that piece of work. So thank you and Godspeed to you to deliver on that.
And it's worth saying, you know, in writing the report Homes for All, we consulted quite widely. I mean, this is not, as you say, it's not a new idea, but we engaged in conversation with people from across the sector again, and we had professional academics involved in writing up the report for us. So it was very much a partnership and collaboration, but led by the steering group in the House of Lords.
Well, on that note, you get now to tell us what your one wish is. So we always end our podcast recording on this question, and it's the answer that I think always stirs a lot of interest. So Bishop Gully, if you had one wish, what would it be and why?
Well, I was very torn on this one because I was tempted to say a long-term government strategy, but given that several other people have said that, let's hope that that wish will come true in any case. And given my role as a bishop in the Church of England, I think probably better to say that my wish would be that the Church of England finds a way of using our land assets in such a way that we can properly feel that we've contributed to this issue. There are signs of hope. There are good things going on, but there's a lot more we could do. And my wish would be that that comes to fulfillment.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Bishop Gully. It's been an absolute pleasure to get to know you a bit better and to get to know the work that you're doing in the House of Lords and the Coming Home Report. As I said, we will share links to the various reports in the show notes. So if listeners are interested, we can find out more about that. Yeah, just left for me to say thank you so much to Bishop Gully Francis and to Honey, my co-host. I hope you've enjoyed that, Honey.
Thank you.
And you have been listening to the If I Had One Wish podcast.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm really grateful, and thank you for all the two of you do as well.
Thank you everyone for listening to the If I Had One Wish podcast. Next time, we'll be talking to another inspirational female from the housing sector. He will be sharing her career story and what she's learned along the way. And of course, we'll be asking again the big question. If she had one wish, what would it be and why? See you next time.